Welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Chris Montgomery, and today we're taking a look at the minor prophets of the Old Testament and asking God to speak to us through His Word. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 6 of the minor prophets, where we are still with Jonah. Today, more grace extended. Ann Voskamp once wrote, "Grace waits in broken places. Grace waits at the bottom of things. Grace loves you when you're at the darkest worst and wraps you in the best light. Grace seeps through the broken places and seeps into the lowest places, a balm for wounds." Our text today is from Jonah chapter 3, verses 6 through 10. "The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows, God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish.' When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it." God granted Jonah the grace of a second chance, and Jonah obeyed the Lord and preached to Nineveh. The king of Nineveh heard God's message of coming destruction, and he called the entire city to mourning and repentance. When God saw their actions, he gave Nineveh a second chance, just as he had given his prophet. God's grace is not a respecter of persons. It is given to whoever will repent. The story of God's grace saturates the scriptures. From Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 and also 8, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God." From Titus 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." God's grace is displayed in similar ways throughout the book of Jonah. Like the sailors in chapter 1, the Ninevites do not know how to avoid God's divine wrath, so they try everything in their power to show the depth and sincerity of their repentance. The king's decree signifies that Nineveh's repentance includes remorse, that's fasting and wearing sackcloth, and repentance, turning from evil and violence. The people of Nineveh experience grace and mercy when they call out to God, just as the sailors did in chapter 1. They turn from their evil ways, and the king of Nineveh raises the possibility that the Lord might turn and relent from the calamity he plans to send against them. That's from Jonah 3, verse 9. This possibility is precisely what happens. God relents from sending calamity when the Ninevites turn from their evil ways. The repetition of the terms turn, evil ways, and perish remind us of God's justice when He judges. His judgments are the appropriate responses to the evil people practice. However, we are also reminded of God's grace and mercy. Even with Jonah's message of judgment, there was the implied understanding that repentance would increase the possibility that God might relent. The purpose of the prophets announcing judgment ahead of time was not simply to forecast doom, but rather to prompt a change of behavior in those who responded to the message. Some questions to consider. How do you see God's grace throughout the book of Jonah? How is God's grace directly connected to their repentance? And finally, prophets were not just broadcasters of judgment. They were sent as ambassadors for repentance. How can speaking the truth in love allow you to witness God transforming someone's life? Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.